Hey, good morning, everyone. Play the ball, not the person. We are up to day 19. I came up with this phrase, play the ball, not the person. I'm looking in the chapter. I don't even know if I actually explained the phrase. I wrote here, tackle the issue, not the person expressing the point of view. I remember when I was used to be a decent basketball player back in my high school days, and my coach would tell me, you know, just keep your eye on the ball. If you look at the person, you know, you're playing somebody, you're taking somebody, you're making sure they don't get to the basket. They're going to do all sorts of weird things with their hands, with their head, with their... It doesn't matter what they do with other parts of their body. The only thing you need to pay attention to is the ball. And I use that in the chapter to talk about the issue of staying focused on an argument. Right? We're living in a day and age where we have personalized disagreements between other people. We're always going to have disagreements and different points of view on very fundamental issues, whether you're Jewish, you're not Jewish, within the Jewish community, outside of the Jewish community. And too often we personalize the argument. We get caught up in who shared the idea rather than the strengths or the weaknesses of the idea itself. And I just remember just much greater and better debates. I just remember seeing the last election debates going on in this country, just so many personal attacks that never was in the world of politics. I sound like an old man now, but growing up, I just remember people actually arguing back and forth over the merits of a certain, you know, policy over a certain view in it, and we kept the personalities out of it. And that's what you see in the Gemara. That's what you see in the Talmud when we talk about machloket l'shem shemayim, a dispute for the sake of heaven. And the Chachamim, the great sages of the Talmud, they debated a lot of very fundamental issues of thought and practice, but they never personalized their arguments. And these were very thoughtful individuals who respected the other person's opinion. And that's why I always like to say, and I put this in the chapter, that whenever there's a machlokas between Hillel and Shammai, it never says these are two great Talmudic sages. It never says Hillel and Shammai. It says Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. The house of Hillel and the house of Shammai. The house is like sort of the academy of, right? Because it wasn't like a personal disagreement between Hillel and Shammai themselves. Yes, they themselves might have entertained, you know, diametrically opposing views from each other, but that didn't stop them from having personal relationships and respect for one another. The Mishnah actually tells us that despite the Mishnah is part of the oral tradition in Judaism, and the Mishnah tells us that despite their disagreements on a lot of very fundamental issues, including marriage and divorce, that didn't prevent their followers, their students, from marrying one another. Okay, and it's crazy today, lahavdil, to make a separation, but, you know, I have students who tell me that they went on a date, and because the other person's a Democrat and they're a Republican, they can't go out anymore. This one's a Republican and the other person's a Democrat. And it's gotten a little out of hand, and we seem to have lost that ability also of remaining pleasant and agreeable when we're confronted with an idea that we do not like. And if we're really arguing for the sake of heaven, right, l'shem shemayim, we're going to discuss the issue and not the people making the arguments, because that is going to allow us at the best resolution. And I've said this a few times in the last couple of weeks, actually, that it's only through the clash of opposing opinions that the ultimate truth emerges. That's why we have in a court system prosecution and the defense. If you want the person to get the fairest trial and you want the truth to emerge as much as possible, you need to have someone who's advocating, you know, this person's guilty and another person's advocating this person is innocent. And through that clash will hopefully emerge a greater truth than if everybody's just sort of yesing each other. And we need to get back to a place in our society, in our personal lives, where we can actually still be friends with people with whom we disagree. And it's complicated, obviously, when it comes to Judaism and Torah, because we do have certain beliefs. We do have certain things that we say are core values and core beliefs in Judaism. And then we get put off by people who don't share those beliefs. But as I've had the great experience in my life doing outreach and doing Kiruv work with amazing, amazing people, many of my students disagree with a lot of things that I say, but I respect them, I try to listen to them, and I try to stay friends with them, even if we're living different lives and they say A and I say B. And certainly the same thing with my rabbinic colleagues. And this is an important thing to think about as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah in the days of the Yomim Noraim now, in these holy days of Elul. I ended the chapter by saying, before I say a word, I am its master. After I say a word, I am its slave. It's a very wise statement by the great sage Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Gabriel. Before I say a word, I am its master. After I say a word, I am its slave. Let's think how we can better stay on the argument and not the person. Play the ball and not the person. in order for us to be able to A, get to the truth, and B, stay friends and colleagues and remain pleasant with people with whom we disagree. Have a great day.